Today I want to turn our attention to Acts 20, where we read Paul's comments to the Ephesian elders. In verse 20 of Acts 20 is often used as a means of 2020 vision for the purpose of the church. We must often have a renewed glimpse of Christ, as we have talked about, but I want us to grasp a renewed sense of purpose if we have a renewed vision of Christ. Beginning in Acts 20 and verse 17, Paul gives an account of a time when he sensed that he would see the Ephesians no more, and yet believed it was essential to have another conversation with the Ephesian elders. And so from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. His purpose was to summarize for them and review with them his ministry that he had with them for 3 years, accomplishing God's purpose as God had led him to the city of Ephesus to preach the word of God, to give the gospel of Christ, and to establish them in their faith. We likewise recognize that we have a responsibility to live with purpose, to be on mission, if I could say it, or on task for what God's called us to do. In a general way, we all have the same task. In a specific way, God directs us in different purposes within the local church and in our Christian life. But this morning, I want to take Acts chapter 20 and point out some principles that keep us on task for God as we recognize the mission that he's given to us. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21 just to give us a sense of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And then we will focus on just the first five verses of this passage. We read, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that y'all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I notice, first of all, that there must be personal ownership of the task. You've heard me talk about it in reference to having personal vision, of having a personal sense of responsibility, of embracing the personal responsibility that God has given us to do what he has called us to do, and that is to fulfill the Great Commission, but more importantly than that, is to bring glory to his name. Our ministry, our life, is not simply about reaching souls with the gospel of Christ, but it is simply about glorifying God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, a great part of that responsibility then is to bring people to Christ by preaching the gospel of Christ to others. If we're not careful, we find ourselves forever shifting the responsibility and the blame to others when we do not do what God has called us personally and individually to do. It is so easy to say it's the church that I attend. It's the people in the church. It's my family. It's my responsibilities. It's my job. And the list goes on of ways that we tend to subtly shift the blame from us to others when we know that God has personally called us to serve him in the gospel of Christ. It is everyone's job. It's everyone's task. It's everyone's responsibility to be burdened for the souls around us, to be purposed to glorify God with our lives, to desire to be used by God in specific ways that the message of Christ would be heard by others. It's not the world's fault if the world doesn't know about Jesus Christ. It's the Christian's fault. And so we're saying to us this morning, are we on task with God? Have we accepted the personal responsibility to be God's ambassadors for Christ as though God has beseeched us? And so we're asking you again this morning, when is the last time you sense that you were truly walking in harmony with His Spirit, doing His work for His glory in a way that others have been drawn to Jesus Christ as their Savior? There is nothing that we can blame our lack of ownership on, except our own indifference and apathy concerning the task that God has given us to do. After 3 years of ministry, Paul was concerned he may not ever get back to Ephesus, and he therefore makes it his responsibility to one more time communicate to the Ephesian elders a little bit more of what God wants them to know. Verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." No cell phone, no internet service. And yet he knew it was his responsibility to do everything he could to capture the hearts of the Ephesian elders and thus capture the Ephesian believers with a little bit more admonition about how important the task is that we all have to serve God with our lives. He warned them in this discourse, verse 32, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Why did he say that? He said, "Because I know of your own selves," verse 30, "shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, I am telling you, as God has challenged me, you also need to be watchful. You need to remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." The Apostle Paul was saying the personal responsibility that I have accepted to accomplish the task that God gave me is also your responsibility. And you must likewise guard all that God has done at Ephesus, that the work of God would not be hindered, that the purpose of Satan would not be accomplished, but rather that the gospel of Christ would go forth and the glory of Christ would be seen. So there is a personal ownership of the task. Secondly, I notice a timelessness. I'm going to call it a present responsibility of the task. The Apostle Paul says in verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." He's saying to the Ephesian elders, when they come and gather together, the very first thing he says to them is that the task that we have is always timeless. It is always in the present tense. He said, from the very first day I came there, I was on task to do what God called me to do. He says, in that very first day, I began to teach you what you needed to know, and you know the manner, you know the behavior, you know the lifestyle that I've had with you at all seasons. My understanding of that passage of Scripture, that statement, that phrase, is Paul was saying that I've lived among you from the first day I came into Asia, how God wanted me to live in every type of situation during my 3 years there. What you know about me is I was always on task in the mission that God gave me. Paul knew his purpose for being there, and he did his best to accomplish it. The Apostle Paul says something similar. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, that Timothy was to preach the word, to be instant. That is, we could say, to be on task in season and out of season. The sense of that is when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Now, folks, we need to get honest with ourselves. We are not giving the gospel of Christ to people. We are not bringing glory to God as we should, because we always find an excuse as to why this isn't a convenient time. And the Apostle Paul said, you know what? Not always is the time going to be convenient, but you can still use the occasion as an opportunity to be on task for God. The Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, doesn't matter if I'm in jail or in the palace, Christ is going to be preached. And so we as God's people need to get a little bit honest with ourselves. We say we don't witness at work because it's against the rules at work. There is no closed location to the gospel unless we have a greater fear in our heart for man than we do for God. I am so glad that God is raising up a generation of young people, and I mean this with sincerity, and you've heard me say this before, but we hear testimonies of young people in Bible colleges today, and they say that I know God has called me to live for him, and I am willing to die for him. And what that means is there's no closed field in this world. That means you can go anywhere with the heart and the purpose and the intent of giving the word of God to those that we come in contact with. You may be killed for it, but the door is not closed. We've become so soft in our thinking and so relaxed in our attitude that we can't even witness. If the community threatens us with the fact that we are soliciting, and we allow that to discourage us, how could we ever be like the Apostle Paul? And I know it's not been that long ago, but for some reason, this one testimony of Paul's life just grips me. He goes to Lystra, he preaches. They start out worshiping him as a god. When he finally convinces them that he is not a god, they're ready to kill him, and they stone him and drag him outside the city for dead. And two verses later, he's back in Lystra. And I'm finding myself saying, "Hello, Paul, are you not thinking straight?" He was thinking perfectly straight. He was on task for what God had called him to do. And he went back again another time. Why? Because it doesn't matter if the city stoned me. I've got to be on task for what God has called me to do. And so whether in the Philippian jail, with his back bleeding, he sings praises and prays to God and gives the gospel, and a jailer gets saved, and many believe that that jailer's salvation is the reason that the church in Philippi was started. Folks, we need to get honest with ourselves and recognize that the church of God today is not doing what it could do because we are too timid when it comes to being on task for him. But now we need to focus our vision on the task that God has given us. And though the gospel is the starting point, it is much more than the gospel. It is giving people the good news of Jesus Christ. It is lifting up Christ before people as we preach to them and teach them. But then it's going on with them and walking with them and teaching them and helping them and mentoring them and restoring them and helping them again and lifting them up again and walking with them and helping them to know that God is worth living for. And he is, in fact, worth dying for. But I know that I and you will never die for Christ if we can't get it through our heads that we need to live for him. So I'm saying to us this morning that I believe that God is directing me to preach to us the importance of getting back on task for him. Stop making excuses for ourselves and why we can't give the word of God and give a testimony for what he means to us, to those around us. God's work is always to be serving him, to live for him, to work for him, to honor him in the mission that he's called us to do. It's timeless in the sense that we're on task in every situation. We're on task with every person that we talk to. We're on task in every circumstance of life. We are confident that God wants to use us to reach others with the gospel and show them how their lives can also bring glory to God. Out of season means when it's unreasonable. May not seem sensible, it may not seem reasonable to talk about Christ, but that's what God has called us to do. The Word of God can do its work if we can get the Word of God to the heart of people. We get so focused on what we want to say to people that we sometimes, even in an effort to witness to them, never get to the Word of God. We tell them we love the Lord, we tell them we serve the Lord, we tell them we attend a great church, we tell them that God's done wonderful things, we tell them that God's answered prayer. None of those things are wrong to talk about. But it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful. It's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the Word of God that pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's the Word of God that's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a person's hearts. And so a little bit less about what we have to say and a little bit more about what God has to say would be very helpful. I've challenged you many times, and I feel like the Apostle Paul would be right on task with us in this challenge. Impact. Impact. Seek to be an impact today. What does it stand for? Influence more purposefully. Another contact today. Impact. And that was the Apostle Paul's mission. That was his sense of responsibility every day, wherever he went, whatever the season, whether convenient or not. He was one more time speaking for the glory of God, and he found himself in that jail bleeding and in chains and bonds. He still could sing the praises of God until God opened the door. The Apostle Paul never had this question, "What in the world am I doing here?" He had the question, "What in the world am I doing here?" Just a different disposition. Not, "God, why did you put me here?" But, "God, why did you put me here?" He knew that there was an opportunity. He knew that there was an occasion. So our task is to find ways to minister the living word of God to the lost, the lifeless, and the less than interested. Paul was right on board with this mindset that today, in this occasion, in this circumstance, in this event of my life, regardless of what it seems to me is reasonable or acceptable, regardless of whether it seems easy or not, I'm going to be on task with the message that God has given me. And so we see that there is a personal ownership of that responsibility. There needs to be a present responsibility of the task. I know that it's my job. I know that it's my obligation. Thirdly, the proper disposition for the task. Verse 19, in being on task, we do well to remember the spirit with which Paul preached, the same way that Christ preached. Paul came, we said, with a humility of mind and with many tears in the midst of many trials. It's important then to remember what we've said about Christ in the previous messages. See, it's not about us, it's about him. It's not about whether we even succeed or not. It's about him. It's not even technically about, though I know we are burdened for this, it's not even technically about whether or not in that moment they accept Christ as their Savior. It's about the fact that we are giving them the gospel, the message of good news, the word of God that has the power, and the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. Is that what we're doing? That's the task. So Paul said, I serve the Lord with all humility of mind. See, it wasn't about Paul. He had ceased with self. And he said that I've not only served with humility of mind, but with many tears and temptations. The Apostle Paul was driven by the heart of Christ, many tears, compassion, a broken heart for the needs of people, and the resistance of Satan. And Paul was committed regardless of the conflict, the temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Our conflict, our resistance might be different than what it was for the Apostle Paul, but you can be sure if you get on task for God, you have at least one enemy, and that is Satan. And yet greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Apostle Paul, with purpose of heart, said, I'm going to stay on task. I'm going to accept the responsibility that I have with a proper disposition. What does it take us to quit? That is going to be the explanation of why we are where we are at this time in our Christian life. I'd never thought about it until 2 weeks ago when I was teaching the lesson in Sunday school. But I wonder, where would the Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle be if God's people here had quit 15 years ago? You say, what happened 15 years ago? I don't know. I'm an old man. I don't remember that far back. I fall asleep and it's all a new day, you see. It doesn't matter the time frame. Where would you be today if you quit last year? Where would this church be today if we'd quit 10 years ago? Where would our Christian school be today if we'd quit 10 years ago, 15 years ago? And somehow that thought just really got a hold of me because I am at a place now where people call me because of my age and they ask with interest, what is going on at the Baptist Tabernacle? And I think I respond correctly by saying, I don't technically know, except that God's moving. And then I usually say this, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that I'd ever be a part of the church where God is doing what he's doing now. And what God's doing here is too sacred for us to try and take credit for it. But it's not too sacred to enjoy. It's not too sacred to be on task with God and say, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Not to be somebody that sits and watches and sees it and even tells others, wow, we had an amazing answer to prayer, or wow, God did this or God did that. But rather to be an active part, to be engaged, to be on task with God, to do what he's called us to do in our Sunday school class, in our master club, in our Christian school classroom, wherever it is, whatever we're doing, God has a task for us to do. And in part, the reason God is doing what he has been doing is because you have gotten on task. It's not just one or two people. It's many that have owned the vision of God in the ministry that he's called us to do. Yes, there must be personal ownership of the task, a present responsibility in the task, and a proper disposition for the task. Fourthly, a passion, a drive to accomplish the whole task. I don't know if anybody else is wired like me. I can be working, and I had a couple of experiences like that just this week, where I'm working and I make a phone call or I make a visit and talk to somebody. It's like God moves and God works and something significant and something I would call supernatural happens in that phone conversation in that time that I've spent. And one part of me wants to go home and take a nap or go home and relax or go home and have fun. And the other part of me says, man, this was so much fun. I want to go do it again. I would state to you emphatically the right response is the second, not the first. We are so wired to feel like we've accomplished something, and then we can relax, we can coast, we can take our vacation. Take your vacation, but never from God. Take your vacation, but always be on task. There was a passion, there was a drive that the Apostle Paul had to enable him to accomplish the task that God had given him to do, and how I kept back nothing, verse 20, that was profitable unto you, but have demonstrated, have showed you, have taught you publicly and from house to house. Everybody here is better at one or the other. You either like the public ministry or you like the personal ministry. But Paul said, I see the need for both. Preach the word of God publicly. I minister the word of God personally from house to house. When Paul came to the end of his life, he was able to say in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, he stayed on task. He did the task. He accomplished it all. The amazing testimony of Christ at the end of his earthly ministry and praying to his Father in John 17, 4, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There's not a person in here that's called to do what Christ did in the sense of going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world. We are called to be on task with Christ in bringing glory to the Father and preaching the word of God to those around us. Christ, at the end of his earthly ministry, was to pray that he had done all that the Father had given him to do. Look at what Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy. The ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, I'm on task and I'm purposed to finish it. He says again in verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Again in verse 31, he says, for 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And again in verse 35, he said, I have showed you all things. Now, folks, I don't know how the message is impressing you if you're just listening and kind of, that stuff makes sense. But no real personal passion or intent to plug it into your life and to see something different tomorrow than it was today. But I'm saying that we need to recognize that all our excuses for not doing what God has taxed us to do will not make sense when we stand before him. I've wondered this in reference to myself, and I wonder it in reference to you. Sometimes we give that excuse, that reason, we can't, and you fill in the blank. Too busy, don't have time, don't know how, not been trained. And we think, do we really think, when we stand before God, we're going to let that flow from our lips, and he's going to say, oh man, I didn't know that. I never would have asked you to do it if I'd known that. Do we really think, when we stand before God, all the shifting of blame, and all the excuses of why we didn't have the skill, and all the reasons that we give that sound good when we talk to others will not sound so good when we stand before God and give an account of ourselves. Fifthly, I won't preach on this, but I want to just mention it. We'll come back to it next week. Personal ownership, it's my responsibility. And I understand that that responsibility is ever in the present tense, always on task, proper disposition, humility and tears, passion to accomplish the whole responsibility, the whole task, and the priority of the gospel in the task. The Apostle Paul said in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said at the beginning of the message, the gospel in and of itself is not the mission, the glory of God is. If we make the gospel the mission, we find ourselves doing some of the crazy things that churches are doing today to do anything for the sake of getting the gospel to people, things that are carnal, things that are flesh-driven, things that are totally unscriptural, things that are not biblical, things that are not holy, things that are not pure. We do not give the gospel to people by any means possible. We give the gospel to people in the spirit of holiness, godly attentiveness to what he's called us to be and what he's called us to say and what he's called us to do. The glory of God is the mission, but it is important to get the gospel message to the lost. We notice that the gospel works for all people, Jews and Greeks. Paul covered everybody on the earth. There's not a person that does not need to be saved. Did you hear me say so often, there's nobody so good they don't need to be saved. There's nobody so bad they can't be saved. Get them the gospel. They need Christ. We notice in reference to the gospel being a primary responsibility of this task that it's a message of change, repentance toward God. There has to be a change of heart. There has to be a change of disposition. That salvation is not by me, not by my righteousness, not by my goodness, not because God shows me favor, but because God shows me mercy in the midst of my sin. There has to be a change of attitude and a change of heart. Repentance toward God. You are holy, I am not. You are able, I am not. You provided salvation, I cannot. And then faith in Jesus Christ. It's a message of faith, directing people to put their faith toward Christ, the finished work. We must cease to depend upon ourselves and believe Christ is the only way to have salvation. And the gospel has to be given. Paul said he was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. We can live a good Christian life in front of other people. We can try to be a good testimony. It's all very important. But if we never open our mouths, we're not going to get the job done. Paul asked the Romans, how shall they hear except somebody preach? We've got to give them the message of the gospel. I found myself thinking about Luke Aikens again. Only a few people are crazy like he was. The rest of us live normal lives. Having parachuted 18,000 times, he decided he should work towards something a little bit more amazing. Jumping out of a plane without a parachute at 25,000 feet and seeing if he could survive. With no artificial, mechanical, or other type of equipment to slow down his fall. Practiced for 2 years. On July 30th, 2016, he jumped out of the plane with an oxygen mask at that altitude, passed it off to fellow jumpers when he got low enough so that he could breathe the air, and without a chute or any other means, wingsuit or any other means, landed in a net 100 feet by 100 feet at 25,000 feet. I'm not trying to hit that target, I'm just telling you. But he hit it and survived. All I'm saying, folks, if somebody can be passionate about that, why can we not be passionate about something that really matters? Something that really matters. We need to be on task. I believe God wants some of us to just come before him and say, God, I'm not where I need to be. Help me to make the adjustments necessary.